Come on, Ramona.
I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation, and my trials only come to make me strong.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word.
I've been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was His own.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word.
I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. I've never had a problem I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word.
Thank you, Ramona. Through every situation that we go through, God is with us. Amen? He is there with us. And so I want to bless those. Ramona, I pray the blessing and the anointing of God upon you as you go to teach the children this morning. It's a very important thing that we time that we have to teach our children. Amen? I would like today to talk about Jesus, the source of refuge and strength. He is our source of refuge, and He is our strength in this time. As before I begin the message, I would like to just invite the Holy Spirit to anoint me and to anoint you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you that I know that you are with us. I pray that you will let the words that I speak be anointed by you, and that you will give me the words that you want to speak through me. Let me only be a vessel hidden by the cross. I pray, O Lord, that you will open the ears and the hearts and the understanding of those that hear this message, whether they be here in this sanctuary or if they are watching by Facebook or another multimedia. I thank you, Lord, that you are present in the times of trouble that we go through. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled this, Jesus, Source of Refuge and Strength. I searched for a title and I thought there's nothing better that I want to say than what that says. It seems that especially today, the turmoil in the world has caused many people to be discouraged by circumstances or perhaps by the bondage of the guilt of their sin. That can discourage as well. There is a bondage that is worse than any ever inflicted by stone walls or iron chains. There is a bondage that is greater. Many are in dungeons around whom no stone wall is reared. It is a universal bondage of sin. A bondage of sin is worse than any incarceration. It holds and enslaves, but the good news is that Jesus came to set the captives free.
Amen.
People may be spiritually blind. They may be bruised by the struggles of this rough world or by the havoc of evil passions, the things that this natural world and this body is enslaved by. Poverty, disease, and misery are often a result of moral sin. Sin brings decay. But Jesus came to deliver from the origin and the result. From where it began, you may say, well, you don't know my background. You don't understand what I've come from. But Jesus is here to set us free, regardless of where we have come from. He went there for us, and he will set us free. Amen?
Amen.
The heart can be broken by various means. There are things that cause brokenheartedness. The heart, there may be a crushing sense of sin. That can break a heart because it brings intolerable shame and loss of self-respect. There may be overwhelming sorrow from disappointment, humiliating loss, rejection, sickness, a bereavement, and loneliness of heart and life. But Jesus is the refuge to whom we can flee because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is the high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, having been in all points tried even as we are. Jesus was so important even in the Old Testament, all the way through Scripture and from the beginning of time. He was so important to our lives that Isaiah predicted and prophesied his coming 700 years before Jesus was born. He talked about him. He said in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 4, here is my servant. The Lord is talking. Remember, God has it's a tapestry. It's not something that's little by little he sees. The whole picture is before him. And he said, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. Who's he talking about? Jesus. He said, I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. He's very gentle and tender when he talks to us, when he communicates to us, when he woos us. He will not crush that that's already crushed. He does not. Sometimes we tend, when somebody is struggling from an addiction or from a habit, and they're trying so hard and they stumble, the first thing some of us want to do is say, I knew it, and stomp him down. Jesus never did that. He went to those who were broken and who were hurting, and he lifted them up. It says, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. When there's just a little bit of fire on that wick, he doesn't blow it out and say, well, it's useless, I'll get rid of it. Instead, he deals with it, and in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. He said, this is the one in whom we can hope. That's why I titled my message, he is the source of refuge and strength. And then we go on to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Further, this was the 42nd, now the 61st. He also is talking about him. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, talking about Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. He said, this is what I'm here for. And Jesus will fill every need in your life, in my life. And he said, I'll provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, sometimes we feel like the ashes, it represents brokenness. And I just am, you know, there's no hope. But he said, I'm going to restore and bestow on them a crown of beauty and the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. He said, you're going to be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. To why? For the display of the splendor of Jesus, so that they will see Jesus in you. Jesus came to console and comfort those who mourn. He came to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And he said, we're going to be called trees of righteousness, and that he might be glorified through our lives. And then in the book of Isaiah, Jesus opened that book after he came to earth. And this was prophesied 700 years before Jesus came. And yet then when he came and he was standing and he was teaching, and he opened the book there of Isaiah, and he began by saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today it's fulfilled because I have come to do exactly that. He began to quote exactly what Isaiah had said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I think about in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, when they had the year of Jubilee. That was a time when they were told to get rid of all the debts. If you owed a debt, you were free from the debt. If you had land that had been taken from you, you received your land back. And I think about that. He says, I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, bring a year of Jubilee. I'm going to free them of the bondage, the debt of sin. I'm going to pay the penalty for that sin. I'm going to give them back what they lost when Satan came and destroyed this earth and when he tried to interfere. Jesus is our deliverer and our refuge. We may not understand, and besides that, we may not understand why we experience some things in life, but God has a purpose and a design for our lives. We may go through things and we say, I don't understand it. And some of us are going through those things today. And we say, I don't understand. God did not promise that we would never have struggles. He didn't promise we'd never have disappointments. But he did promise us. He said, I am with you always. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 20, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll be with you. So just because we're Christians or that we're born again and we're following Christ does not mean that nothing bad is going to come or there are not going to be difficult times. And in Proverbs, it tells us the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. I think of the story of Esther. You probably know that story quite well, but she became the queen. And the Jews were going to be destroyed by an edict. I don't want to go into all the story. I'd have the whole story here and have the rest of my message. But anyway, so she was in this position. And we read in Esther, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 14. Her uncle, Mordecai, now Esther is a Jewish girl, remember, and she has been put in this position by God. This was the design. It looked like, oh, this is great. I've been elevated to queen, but that really was not the whole thing. It wasn't to bring glory to her, but it was to deliver the Jewish people. And so she's there, and Mordecai says to her, if you remain silent this time, now there had been an edict that gave permission for them to kill all the Jews. You remember Haman came in and he said, let's get rid of them. And the king did not know that Esther was a Jewish girl. And so he says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. There are times when we feel like I'm not the one who can do what God is wanting done. I'm not capable. There's such a risk. But if you don't do it, somebody, God will use someone, and you will lose benefit of it. And who knows, he said, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Who knows but what God has brought you to this place in your life for a particular purpose. We remember how Joseph was sold into slavery and went to Egypt. I can imagine how distraught he was, being 17 years old and having to learn a language and having been rejected by family. There are some that feel like they've been rejected by their families and there's nothing, no hope for them. Well, Joseph was one of those, but God had a purpose for it. And so there are times when you're going through difficult times, God has a purpose. He doesn't want you to suffer, but he wants to accomplish a goal, something that he wants to do, perhaps through you. And so Joseph, you know the story how that his brothers made fun of him. They sold him into slavery, but in the ultimate end, his dream actually came to pass. They bowed before him, and he was Lord over them, and they were delivered from the famine, and they moved to Egypt. But Joseph had to be willing to be subjected to the things that came his way. He went to prison when he was innocent. You may suffer when you are innocent. And you say, God, why are you allowing this to come on me? Why me? I've tried to serve you. And Joseph had done that. He had run from the woman who was enticing him, from Potiphar's wife. He tried to get away, and yet he went to prison. And he suffered because of it. But God had a purpose. He had a plan. And so when you're going through things, God has a purpose and a plan. We may not understand why we experience some things, but God has a purpose and a beautiful design for our lives. He did not promise that we wouldn't have these disappointments, but he said he would be with us. In Job, I think of Job. There is a man that the Satan came and he said, nah, yeah, he serves you because you give him, he's wealthy, you have favor on him. And you may be one of those people that God has shown you favor after favor after favor, and all of a sudden it seems like everything is just falling apart. Is it because of sin? Job, the Bible says that God called Job blameless and upright, a righteous and godly man. But he said in Job, the 19th chapter, Job said, the 25th verse, I begin. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. He said, I will not lay aside my faith. I know I'm going to see him. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me, he said. And I'm telling you that you may go through difficult times, but Jesus said that he came to bind up and to heal, and he will bring glory out of even those difficult times. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, very familiar verse that God says to you, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There are times when we feel like that our future and our hope has been disintegrated. It's just dissolved, and it doesn't seem possible. But God says, I have a plan, and it's not to destroy you. But I want you to then look at Psalm, the 37th chapter, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some people say, well, this is great. whatever I desire, God will give me. But that translation is not what it says. It says he will form. When you delight in the Lord, he will form the desires of your heart. He will cause you to want those things that are good for you. We have desires that are carnal desires. But God can take any circumstance and use it for good and for his glory, if we will just let him do that. If God removed all the difficult circumstances in our lives, we would probably never mature. James tells us in the first chapter, verses 2 through 4, he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." We do have trials, and it's not always because of our activity, our sin, or wrong choices. Sometimes we have trials because of our choices. But God says that in spite of it, he said, "I am going to use it for my glory, if you will take delight in me." I encourage you to delight in the Lord. We are in some difficult times today, and we see on the news the calamity and the destruction and the loss of life and the things that are happening. And we say, "God, what can I do?" You go to the grocery store, and some of the shelves are empty, and some of them you see people stockpiling food, and the fear is overcoming some. I'm not saying you shouldn't prepare, do what you feel like you should do, but I'm telling you that we have a God that will take care of us. He cares about us. And I don't mean that you should be foolish and not prepare for the future. We should look forward to the future. We should make plans. But God is still in charge. He says, if you delight in the Lord, he will form the desires of your heart. I want my desires to be what he wants, don't you? I want him to use me for his glory. Not everything that I think I want is what he decides is good for me. If I had my way, I'd have my husband still standing here with me. But it's not what God decided. I had to let him. I'm sure he would never want to come back. Perhaps you have released and let go of members of your family, and I know that many of you have. And I got a message today from one of my sons, and he said, "Read this." What came on Facebook was a dear friend that he had, and his mother was writing her son had died. And he said, "What an awful thing to have to bury your child." There are some of us who have gone through that, not I, but some of you sitting here have experienced that. No one wants to go through that pain and that heartache, but it is not heartache for that loved one who is ready to meet Jesus. Jesus said that he would be the one, and like Job, Job says, "I know that I will see him. I will see him, and we will see him if we will just delight in him and make Jesus the Lord of our lives." If you're watching today, this telecast, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I pray and I encourage you to make that decision. It doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect person. Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for those that needed him. And if you recognize that you need him, then you're qualified to have him come into your life, and he will give you the desires that you need to have. He will lead you and guide you. I encourage you to make that choice today. And if you will just pray with me as I pray, Heavenly Father, I recognize that I need you more than anything that this world has to offer. There's turmoil and there's much going on that causes fear, but I want you to be my strength and my courage in my life. I thank you. I believe that you died on the cross to take away my sins. I give them to you. I release them. I pray that you will make me a new person. Cleanse me from every sin and let me be your child. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, it's not the words, but it is the heart If you believe it, you have received Jesus, and he will be with you. He'll be with you through your life, and he'll give you the courage and the strength to carry on. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I know that, I don't know if there's anyone here today. Perhaps you need special prayer. Maybe you're going through some dark places in your life. It doesn't mean that it's something you have done. Maybe it is something you've done to bring that. Maybe it isn't. But whatever it is, God is here to give you the strength and to touch your life. He is the one that heals the brokenness in our lives. Perhaps there's someone in your family that you are concerned about and you want prayer for that person. If you want us to pray for you and with you today, we are here to do that. Is there anyone that says, yes, I have a need in my life or I have a need in my family's life and I would like special prayer? Okay, Joshua. Is there anyone else? This is not to embarrass anybody, but we are a family. And the family shares the burdens, the hurts, and the pains. And we say, we'll hold you up. We'll pray for you. We're not going to crush you. We're not going to push you down. Jesus said, I don't want you to do that. Be like me. You don't crush a broken reed. You don't snuff out a fire. Amen. Yes, okay. Brenda, you have a special...